Lechner spins it. Bloomer got a man going to the net, but he curled back. Here's a score! Nikita Zadorov! Vancouver and Edmonton 2-3. And here comes Garland in. Fakes the shot. Score! Connor Garland!
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Hit the music!
Trust me on this. I did not like that opening. But, you know, something I came to find out about myself last night is going into this series, I thought, holy fuck. I am going to revert back to 2011 Soupy and 2012 Soupy when the Canucks were on top and they had... I don't like to peg fan bases with, oh, Leaf fans are garbage. Oh, Flames fans are this. Oh, Jets fans are this. Fanboys are fanboys. Okay? Figure it out. They're fucking ridiculous. They're not worth listening to. They're fucking losers. All right? They're fucking losers, and every fan base is filled with them. Let's figure that out. The more popular a team is, the more fanboys they'll have. So I do not like painting Canucks fans with that brush. Having said that, it has seemed for a very long time that the Canucks fan base is, like, kind of every fan base agrees with this, that the Canucks fan base just is entitled. They're conceited when they've got no reason to be. They're like, it's just a different, they're a little more whacked. I don't know another way to put it than, I mean, the riots, right? And I'm not trying to bash them. I'm not trying to, because I know that's not the entire fan base, small section, but no other organization or no other fan base is rioting after losses. You know? Oh, well, they're passionate. Are they? You know, like, it just, you know, I remember 2011 saying to everyone, as a joke, but kind of serious, that I was looking forward to the riots after Game 7, and sure as shit, they proved me right. Like, but anyway, and that's, I'm not sitting here as an Oilers fan saying, oh, Oilers fans are great. No. No, God, no. But I think every fan base has... Anyway. So the Canucks fan base was very unsufferable in 2011. And then Jim Houston doing the national games was not helpful to their cause as for their popularity. He was a very... And hey, you understand. He's from Vancouver. He did the Canucks regional games for a very long time. He had a close relationship with a lot of those players. You get it. But you're also paid to be an unbiased national broadcaster. He was not. He was not. He had a bigger homer call on the Alex Burrows goal than John Shorthouse did. John Shorthouse at that time was doing their radio broadcasts, or at least for the playoff games. He might have been doing their regional games on TV, but he was doing the... You go listen to it. John Shorthouse has less of a homer call. I really like John Shorthouse, by the way. And yes, John Shorthouse is a Canucks like guy, but he's not an over-the-top bad homer by any means. Was fine listening to him in the first round. That's sad on Jim Houston's part, though. So anyway, so they had that, and then they had one of the most hateable teams in league history. On top of all that, they were just so unlikable. So I really thought coming into this series, like, oh, fuck, I am going to revert back to that guy, and I am going to start hating the Canucks fans. And, you know, I'm trying to, and I've seen a little bit of it on social media. I try hard to stay out of it. A lot of the people that I try to follow don't get into that shit. So, yeah, do I like the Canucks? No. No, like, I think they definitely got the organization back on track. I was a Canucks defender here the last 5 years or so. I defended them as hard as anyone, saying that they've got the big pieces in place. They just need to fill out around the edges. So I've actually been a pretty big support. And this team isn't dislike. Like, this team is not like the one of 12 years ago. Not remotely close. I don't know if this is a lovable team, but it's definitely not a hateable team. They play, I don't feel like they've got anyone who's really unlikable other than maybe Zadorov. But I mean, I'd take Zadorov on my team. And the Canucks were full value for that win in game one. I'll tell you what team I don't like right now. The Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers are not a likable hockey club right now. Not for their fan base. As their fan base has to sit there and watch them pull that shit last night. Last night as I'm recording this. This organization has a loser's mentality. Typical game one performance from these unfocused fucks. Absolutely zero killer instinct once being gifted a 4-1 lead. This organization isn't serious about winning, and it bleeds onto the ice. Fuck, I listened to Stoff tonight, as I'm recording this. Listened to Stoff before I recorded this. And he's on his show with a caller. He was taking calls. And the caller wanted to compare them to Colorado. And talking about this, like, no showing and how Colorado's got a killer instinct and the Oilers don't. And Stoff, in his own way, and I'm paraphrasing here, but in his own way, basically says, well, that's unrealistic to think they can be Colorado. And he goes on to talk about how, you know, Colorado won the Cup 2 years ago, and Colorado, you know, they were upset by Seattle last year, and then this year, you know, they sure looks like they're the odds-on favorite to win. And it's like, this is what, like, this is where your Cup or bust is at, is, wow, there's no way we can beat Colorado. That's what the mentality is in this organization. That's that they're not serious about winning. And it bleeds onto the ice. Last night was the fourth time in their last 9 game ones. One off 50%, and trust me, I am being generous on this. The fourth time in their last 9 game ones that they have had a completely dog shit performance. They are never ready for a series, ever. You remember what I said about a week ago or so about the game one of the Kings series? I didn't think they played well. That would have been their 9th straight game one loss had they lost that one and then this one. They're not serious about, they're not focused. It's such a losing mentality with this organization. and it's supposed to be cup or bust. Listening to Bob, he's basically preparing the fan base for another first round loss and has been before game one. He's saying the exact same type of shit last year for the Vegas series. When they were going into the series, they were the better team than Vegas. Everyone was picking them against Vegas. People forget that. And what did they do? They no-showed game one. And then once they dominated game two, they no-showed game three. People forget this. They're just such fucking losers. And I'm not talking just about the players, and I'm that, you know, like, it's not every player, but as an organization, they are just such fucking losers. There are ways to overcome it, but it takes self-awareness. They have none. They have absolutely none. I would be so fucking thrilled if they proved me wrong. But there is nothing to indicate that anything is ever going to change in this organization. Well, two things are going to change. 97 and 29 are going to be peace out. Like, if this organization doesn't get their act together quick, they're gone. And further to that point, 97 and 29, that window is going to slam shut if they do decide to stick around, because then they've got the albatross of a nurse contract. They'll still have years on the Jack Campbell deal, whether it's bought out or not. Like, there's so much bad money that's going to be on the books, coupled with fat fucking extensions that are going to take up at least 30 mil of the cap. Like, it's so bad, man. It's just, I just can't believe that we're still seeing this shit. That these fucking guys in this fucking organization just do not get it. There seems to be no leadership at all. Nobody saying, hey, guys, remember what we do. Remember what our bad habits are. Let's fix them. Nope, none of that. Absolutely none of that. Like, think back to their trade deadline and why I got so hot about their trade deadline. Was that an organization that's serious about winning? Adam Henrique was out last night. Did you notice? I don't think many people did. I don't know any one of my friends who sat there and said, boy, they sure miss Henrique. No, Connor Brown was fine. I heard someone say Connor Brown was shit. What? Well, he took that penalty. Yeah, it was a bad call. Like, I'm not going to be a dipshit and say, well, because the game managers felt like they needed to call one at that moment and it just happened to be Connor Brown, he played a bad game. No, don't be a fucking idiot. Connor Brown was fine last night. I thought, like, I couldn't believe that when I heard that, oh yeah, I thought he was terrible. What? What? Like, but it's just like so many in the media, and I'm going to get to the media. Boy, am I going to get to the media. It's like so many in the local media just, you know, it's the same thing with Cody Ceci. And I'll get to Cody Ceci because I got to lay that out for people once again. They have the initial impression on him and then it never changes. So the initial impression on Connor Brown was he was shit. And you've heard me dog him on this podcast countless amounts of times. He was fine. But they're just expecting him to come in and, well, he didn't get two goals, so what a fucking loser. No, no, the losers are the ones no-showing game one, which was virtually everyone. Except for one guy, Connor Brown, looked like he had a pretty good effort. Like, this is cup or bust. This is what they're cup or bust. Oh, cup or bust, boy, we're serious now. No, you're not. No, you're not. You just got fucking, you know, that score was flattering. They would have literally, they would have been better off had Shelov's not allowed those two weak goals in the second. They would have been so much better off blowing just an early 2-0 lead and Vancouver running away 5-2. So much better off. Because I don't, the score flatters them. And I don't think these guys are fucking anything self-aware to get it. I just don't trust it. There are two, and I mean body language speaks fucking volumes, man. Volumes. There are too many games where these guys just have no life. No energy. Nothing. They just go through the motions. The reason they're better under Chris Knobloch than Jay Woodcroft, I will say this, Knobloch has so much structure in their game that when they have these nights, they now don't get humiliated because their structure is so good. But make no mistake, their efforts are terrible most nights. Terrible. And again, go watch Colorado play and then go watch it. Like, it's night and day. And that, yeah, I bring up Colorado all the time, right? Because that's the best built team in the league. That, to me, is the organization who knows what they're doing the most. They have a plan. They're sticking to it. They're smart. They don't think they're the smartest people in the room. They develop well. They, oh, man, they're so well thought out with the pieces they bring in. Like, they just do everything right. And lo and behold, they're the top team in the league. And the Oilers, who have better high-end pieces, are saying cup or bust, and then no showing playoff games. No showing playoff games. All right. Oh, well, one more thing to that. Because they did this, because they completely fucking no-showed game one, now Leon Draisaitl's got a back injury. So if you would have said when it was 4-1, okay, guys, we've been gifted this lead. Let's fucking crank it up and make sure, let's work our balls off the final 30 minutes. We're going to fucking put our work boots on. We're going to match, if not exceed, the Canucks' work ethic, because the Canucks worked their ass off. We're going to match their work ethic. And we are going to ensure that we hold on to this lead. And then if Leon's got to be out, we've bought him a game. Nope, not these losers. Not at all. They're not in a good spot. More so because of the Draisaitl injury, but man, that just was a fucking disgust, a disgrace of an effort last night. A disgrace. I don't want to hear how you're rusty. Because guess what? Why are you not rusty in the first? How does that make sense? Oh, well, we were rusty. We were out of sync. Uh-huh. Okay, so first period, you were really good. And then the second and third, you were as bad as you've been all season, and you started the season 3-9-1, or was it as bad as 2-9-1? I forget. Fucking losers. Like, just unreal. Personally, I don't think Draisaitl will play tonight. Well, tonight, as you hear this. I don't think Draisaitl's going to go. I think they're going to have to be cautious. It's his back. It's not something that might not get worse. It's something that'll get worse. I think it was loose enough last night. Again, as of recording this is tricky. It was loose enough where they could put him back out there. He was not at all comfortable. Didn't want to engage. Like, I have been there before with an injury where you're playing with it, but you don't want to engage. You're worried this is going to get way worse. We'll see. We will see. I don't know what they can do as far as freezing it might go. I don't know what they could do as far as just chiropractic treatment. If he can't go, boy, do they need Henrique. They do, because you need someone to slide into his spot at the very least and not get owned. Holy hell. They are, and this is just these losers. This is this loser mentality. I keep calling them losers. I'm being harsh, I know. But this loser mentality, now it's going to cost them, because they're either going to be needing to go with a severely banged up Leon Draisaitl, or they're going to be needing to go with a banged up Adam Henrique as their second line center. Whoopsie daisy. Had Draisaitl got hurt and they won and they taken care of business like a professional fucking team would do, then you wouldn't have, it wouldn't even be a question. We'll sit him out game two. We'll see where he's at game three. If we win game two, we'll for sure sit him out game three. And keep him, just make sure he's healthiest when you need him, so to speak. Okay. Everyone was terrible last night, other than maybe Connor Brown. There was a few guys. Hyman was Hyman, but for the most part, everyone is, including 97. 97 was awful, who I also worry is also hurt. Stuart Skinner was horrendous. Ekholm wasn't bad, obviously. Bouchard wasn't bad, obviously. Like, there were guys that weren't bad, but there were either guys who were not bad or guys who were horrendous. Skinner, give your guys a fucking stop. Like, it's just, again, and I think it's the mentality of the organization. Again, I think it bleeds into Stuart Skinner's game. And that's why you get Stuart Skinner just having these games where it's like, what the fuck is this? And I don't think Skinner was horrendous. I actually think the first goal and the, the first goal and the fifth goal were the ones that were bad. The first goal wasn't so much that it was a bad goal, but I just, and even in the moment, even though it only made it 2-1, and they, you know, I was like, wow, they're fine, whatever. On that one, I was like, man, Jeremy Swayman gets to that puck. Because he's got, everything's just feels heavy with Skinner. Like, he's not fluent. He doesn't have a lot of high-end skill for a goaltender. And so when he pushes off to get to that puck, like, it's such a weak push-off with, I guess it would be his left skate. To me, anyway, it just felt like, okay, other goaltenders would get there, and this guy just isn't good enough. You know, like, he's you know who he reminds me of as a goaltender? Just, I'm actually just thinking of this now. He reminds me of Antti Niemi. Remember Antti Niemi? And Chicago won a cup with him. And that's, if the Oilers were to ever win a cup and he was the goaltender, that's the level he'd be, is Antti Niemi level. Antti Niemi always looked like a guy who, it's like, eh, he might not cost you a game, but he ain't going to win you shit. That's kind of Skinner. Good regular season goaltender. Not really the guy in the playoffs. Even when he's on, I feel this way. He's not stealing you games. Like, yeah, in LA, 33 saves. It's great. He was the best player on the ice for the Oilers that night. I don't know that there were any stops that were 10 bell saves. Do you? I can't think of any. To me, that's stealing a game, is when you have three or four stops that are like, oh my God, and the shooter's looking to the ceiling. Like, how did that not go in? Yeah, Skinner doesn't give you any of those. And then on top of that, they went with good guy Calvin Pickard rather than going and finding someone who maybe could give you those stops. Good guy, Calvin Pickard. They picked good guy at Cody CeCe too. All right. CeCe and Nurse. I have to go through this again because for some reason in my life, this came up today. Fucking people are assholes. I won't get into the whole story, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. I am anti-scapegoat. Anyone would say, and I don't blame them, anyone would say, your scapegoat Supes is Cody CeCe. And I get why they'd see it that way. That is not lost on me, but I am anti-scapegoat, and I'm very aware of it as I'm bitching about Cody CeCe. Cody CeCe is not the problem. Darnell Nurse is the problem. But Darnell Nurse is the problem that you have no solution to. You have given him, the organization that is, Ken Holland, gave him an albatross of a contract. Please, for the love of fucking Christ, save your excuses as to why it actually had to happen. Shut the fuck up. They're lame. You know deep down that they are excuses. Shut up. Please. Shut the fuck up. And for Darnell Nurse, you knew what you were getting yourself into. Congratulations on handcuffing your teammates and your organization. Why that extra $1.25 million a year? $8 would have been bad enough. But why you needed that $1.25 mil extra? Like, hey, you know, everybody will say, hey, good on you. Get that money. Get that paper. I get it. I don't know. For a guy who's also bitching about the fans giving him a rough ride, yeah, you got to pick one, bud. You did it to yourself. Anyway, that he's not going anywhere. Nobody in the league would dare take on that deal other than, like, maybe the Kings for PLD, maybe the Flames for Jonathan Huberto. Like, and even then, I don't know. And then the other side to that is Nurse ain't waving his no move. So you are stuck with Darnell Nurse. That contract ain't going anywhere. So what do you do as an organization? You try to improve Darnell Nurse as much as you can. That's where Cody CeCe comes into the picture. The defense partner who makes no sense whatsoever playing with Darnell Nurse. If Darnell Nurse was the identical defenseman to, let's say, Victor Hedman, Cody CeCe would never be talked about on this podcast. I might get annoyed with him from time to time, but he would not be thought of as anything of a problem. Because if Darnell Nurse is what he should be, a tremendous shutdown defenseman who can also move the puck well, that's what he should be, then a guy like Cody CeCe playing beside him is fine. But Darnell Nurse doesn't defend well enough, so he needs a good defender playing with him. Darnell Nurse doesn't move the puck well at all. Case in point on the third Vancouver goal last night. Oh my fucking God, what a train wreck. So he needs a partner who can move the puck well. How many times this season did I mention Nick Jensen? Nearly the same size as CeCe. Far more competitive than Cody CeCe. Moves the puck far better than Cody CeCe. Defends far better than Cody CeCe. Was playing for a Caps team that made a system change that he did not fit with. They went to man-to-man from zone. He's a zone defenseman. He struggled playing man-to-man. The Oilers play zone. He was an ideal fit. He was only $750,000 more than Cody Ceci. It would have been very simple to make it work for the contracts. This organization is not serious about winning. So what did they not do? They did not do anything to upgrade on Cody Ceci. They knew that Cody Ceci was a problem because they went after Chris Tanev from all reports. And they went after Matt Walker from all reports. So they knew. But then when those ships had sailed, then all of a sudden word somehow leaked out that, oh, it's the players that don't want to move Cody Ceci. The players love him. Why does something get out? Because someone wants it to get out. So Cody Ceci, as the player and as the person, really isn't the problem. He's playing his game, although he has more to give. He can be a better player than what he's playing right now or what he played last night. A much better player. Show some fucking effort. Show some desperation. The big thing for Cody Ceci for me is he looks like he's out of shape. And that would coincide. That would make sense for his entire career. Now, I don't know this. I'm not saying this is the case. This is just how it seems. That for Ceci, when he was in Ottawa, came onto the scene, was a fine number five defenseman. They tried to move him up the lineup. He struggled with that. He struggled and struggled and struggled in Ottawa as they tried him as a top four defenseman. Finally, they moved him on to Toronto. Now, I can't remember how many years it was that he was with the Sens. He was drafted in 2012. He's a late 93. I don't know why I added that he's a late 93, but I did. He was in Ottawa for however many years. I'm sure it was at least 2015 was his rookie year. And then was there until his last year in Ottawa was 18-19. So then he moves on to Toronto. Well, there really wasn't any reason for him to get into shape. And again, this is just a theory. Prior to the trade to Toronto. So he gets traded to Toronto, and it starts off, it's just a nightmare. But what people forget, and a lot of people didn't notice, is that towards the very end of the, you know, before the pandemic hit, in the 1920 season, Ceci was just starting to come on for the Leafs. The back half to that season, he was starting to come on as a viable number four defenseman. Then he's a free agent. So as a free agent, he moves on to Pittsburgh. And he's only got a one-year deal. Now there's desperation. Okay, I'm on my third team. I've only got a one-year contract. I've really got to make sure that I don't fall right out of the league here. So he starts getting into good habits. He starts working his balls off. Again, just a theory. He starts really getting after it in the gym. Has a great season in Pittsburgh. Edmonton signs him to a four-year deal, $3.25 million a year. Those good habits carry over for the first season in Edmonton. He has a great year, his first year in Edmonton. But then he gets comfortable. So now he's on year three. He's been very comfortable in Edmonton. He's had, I think, this was his worst year. Worse than last year, I would say. It's tough. You know, we had all that shit last year that, oh, well, he's playing through a core injury. Made no sense. Made absolutely no sense. Because, again, if he actually had a core injury, they could have put him in LTIR. Got some extra money, and they were in LTIR, so it would have made sense. It would have been an easy thing to do, and then use some of that money for the trade deadline. Odd, weird, they didn't do that. But he had a core injury, right? Like, we're all supposed to believe that, right? And I, benefit of the doubt, benefit of the doubt, I was saying, okay, that's fine. Like, I was skeptical about it, but I still was like, okay, it's fine. Maybe he does. Lost all benefit of the doubt this year when nothing has changed about his game. Other than more and more media members are trying to make the case that he's really good. And that's the last part of this. My problem with Cody Ceci is that the mainstream media in Edmonton has clearly been given an edict from the organization to try and pump his tires and try to take the heat off him and suggest to the fans that, yeah, no, he's actually really good. Look, again, Cody Ceci has the ability to be a very good top four defenseman. I'm not questioning that. After 2 fucking years, I'm sick of waiting to see and find out. The time has passed. If anyone in the organization had any self-awareness, if the people making the lineup decisions had any fucking balls, Troy Stetcher would be in the lineup for Friday night's game against the Vancouver Canucks. He ain't. This organization would rather lose than win being wrong. I don't know how else to put it. They would much rather lose then win if it means they're going to be proven wrong. And I don't think the coaching staff has much of a say here, because every time Troy Stetcher stepped in for Cody Ceci this season, he went right to the pairing with Darnell Nurse. Now, if they thought that Troy Stetcher was truly a number 7 defenseman, he would not play with Darnell Nurse. Desharnais played enough with Nurse, they would have moved Desharnais up. They know. They are well aware that Nurse needs a puck mover who can also be good on retrievals playing with them. And Troy Stetcher's great on retrievals because he plays with balls. He gives a fuck. Cody Ceci doesn't look like he ever gives a fuck. Drives me insane. Again, not serious about winning. But I'm so sick of laying the Ceci thing out, because that's what it is. It's not an issue with Ceci as a standalone player. It's an issue with Nurse, and it's an issue with the fuck-ups of this organization that continually happen. And man, game one, was it glaring. Glaring. Second goal, Ceci not making a good enough effort on the puck. I know, bad bounce off Skinner's paddle. I get it. That whole play really started. I'm sure there was other stuff that led up to it, but there was a puck battle going on in the corner. Ceci was there, made a lame fucking half-assed attempt to knock the puck down, didn't get his feet moving when he could have broke up the play. Like, he had an opportunity to break up the play. Fucking awful effort, didn't break up the play. It is so well beyond the time to go to the whip with these fucks. Isn't it? Like, again, 4th game one in their last 9. No-showed. And that's, and again, I'm not even talking about wins and losses, because they've only won one of 9 game ones. You know, like the Winnipeg game one, that wasn't good at all. Game one against LA in 2022, I didn't include that. That was pretty fucking bad. Like, it's startling. And now, in this series, Canucks have life. The Canucks have a ton of life. They believe. And that was exactly the same type of game as they played against the Canucks in the regular season, where the Oilers couldn't generate anything. Yeah, they got four goals, but again, one was on the power play, two were bad. You think about that. In their last three games now, in these playoffs, game four against LA, game five against LA, game one against Vancouver, do you know how many even strength goals that this team has? Like, and I'm talking true even strength goals. So take away goals that are awful from the goaltenders and take away goals that come at the end of power plays. So they got a power play goal was their only goal of game four. They got a terrible, or like a awesome bounce, but a terrible goal allowed by David Rittich to start game five. The other three were essentially power play goals. One was actually a power play goal. The other two were at the end of power plays. Really, they were still on the man advantage. And then last night, two more bad goals and one more on the power play. One good even strength goal in your last three fucking games. And they have become the team once again that just goes out there and waits for the man advantage. Just play it even till we get a power play, boys. No need to press. Losers. Losers mentality. Please, for the love of God, as an Oilers fan, prove me wrong. Prove me fucking wrong. One team gives an effort, and the other team is the Edmonton Oilers. Hate the Canucks fans all you want. Tough to hate Rick Tocchet. Hate the fact that they got such good luck at the start of the year. Yep, they did. But they play their fucking asses off. It is admirable how hard they play. And at least last night, no cheap shot artists, no fucking guys diving. Like, nothing to hate except for the team wearing white last night. It's just, the thing that I think rattles me the most is just that reminder of what it was, where this organization, this incarnation of the Oilers, they ain't winning a cup. Now, they might, like, who knows next year and everything, what the future holds, right? We don't know. I assume Draisaitl and McDavid are both going to be gone, but I could be wrong. Like, this team, let's say Dallas, and that's just started, so I got to go because I want to watch it, and I'm tired, so I got to go to bed and watch it. Dallas would be the best matchup for them. They're not beating Dallas. They're not beating Colorado. If they somehow got the biggest, most incredible luck in the world and won that next series, if they can even get past Vancouver, because now they have given Vancouver a tidal wave of momentum. You're going to beat Florida? You're going to beat the Rangers, who are now up 3-0? You're going to beat one of those teams? You're going to beat Boston if they get there? Like, no. Who are you kidding? No. They're not winning anything. They're not winning the cup. Again, prove me wrong. Talent's there to do it. I'm not saying they don't have the talent to do it. I'm saying they don't want it. They don't want it. This organization don't fucking get it. And again, from the top to the ice, they don't fucking get it. And I'm sure there's players in that room who do get it. And it's driving them batshit crazy. But I mean, you see those games, the last three games especially, of, let's just wait for a power play. And the supporting cast, we'll just wait for Leon and Connor to do it. No. Like, they so badly need to be whipped. Guys, step the fuck up. You don't want to win? Fine. Go somewhere else. Like, I just... that should be the mentality. And instead, it's, you know, we've had a good year. We're top eight team again, you know. We won. We beat LA. We're a good team, right? Like, we're solid. We're having minuscule success here. It's awesome. Like, what the fuck? What the absolute fuck? All right. That was, I didn't even say it off the top. That was Soups Oilers Ultimate Post Game Show. Almost 24 hours late. Better late than never. I'll probably have one for Friday's game on Saturday. It could be a bigger rant than this. I'm not expecting... I'm fully expecting 2-0 going back to Edmonton. I don't think they're going to have Draisaitl. I think they're in big-time trouble. I think they'll give a better effort. I do think they'll give a better effort. They won't get as humiliated tomorrow night. Or tonight, whenever you're listening to this. But I think the Canucks win 4-3 in overtime, have a 2-0 lead going back to Edmonton, and then, it's gut check time. Time to separate the men from the boys. Better wake the fuck up. We'll see. Man, Oilers fans, before you go, and you, some of you are probably listening to this thinking, this guy's not an Oilers fan, this guy's fucking bailing on the team. No, I'm calling it as I see it. Again, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. This is how I see it as of today. This organization has a great chance to prove an idiot like me wrong. Go do it. Otherwise, I'm going to bring up this shit all over again on Saturday. See you then.
I'm going to go find me some butterfly poon.